Hello and welcome to another episode of Three Fine Legs. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, I'm Nikesh Raghani, alongside my partner in crime, Ankur Desai. Abhishek Jhunjhunwala can't be with us this time around. So we've got Chetan Narula as our special guest, sports broadcaster, sports journalist over in Delhi at the moment, covering all things Indian cricket, as always. Welcome to the show, Chetan.
Thanks, Nikesh. Thanks, Ankur. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's kick off then, Chetan. You're obviously in Delhi, and it'd be wrong of us not to mention the COVID situation in India. Of course, it's been all over the news here in the UK, all around the world. The struggles for oxygen, of course, throughout India, in particular Delhi, which is the toughest hit city by all accounts in India at the moment. Alongside that, of course, you've got the IPL continuing. There are arguments as to whether or not that should go ahead. Just give us your take on the situation as it is on the ground, Chetan, and you know, whether or not a lot of people there feel the IPL going ahead is still the right thing.
Well, first of all, the situation is pretty bad, and all possible accounts that you've heard or read in international media or the Indian media or Indian Twitter, international Twitter, anywhere and everywhere, wherever you've read it, heard it, it's all absolutely true. People are suffocating, no medical oxygen or a lack of medical oxygen. The hospitals are chock-a-block full. People are struggling for ventilators, ICU beds, normal beds. People are struggling to get tested, and that's the story across India, not just Delhi. Delhi is struggling in terms of medical oxygen, of course. The central government was asleep at the wheel for the last 6 months. The Indian structure, political structure, is central and state. The states were unhelpful. I'm not going to blame any single political party. I'm going to blame all of them for this mess. The common man is absolutely in a pitiful state today. And all of them, from the very top, from the prime minister down to the state's chief ministers, and every last one of them is responsible for this. But that's the political side of things. Over the last week, the central government has woken up and they've tried to make amends, but it's too late. A lot of people have died. They're trying to get ahead of the oxygen situation, but it's not an easy one to comprehend. That's the bottom line. Obviously, this week, the focus has shifted towards the IPL because the IPL, in a way, had gone tone deaf and to whatever was happening outside. And the withdrawal of Ravichandran Ashwin is what woke everybody up. He was the first one to withdraw. Before that, Liam Livingston had gone home citing bubble fatigue, which was a bit different, I would say. But it is, the bio bubble is a part of the IPL. So it's basically Ashwin's withdrawal that woke everybody up. MS Dhoni's parents are also infected, but he's not withdrawn. And then, of course, the three Aussie cricketers, they withdrew, and Pat Cummins made that contribution. So everybody got talking about it, whether the IPL should go on or not. If I can give a first take on it, I think it's not an easy solution. It's not an easy call to make right now. And I'll tell you why, because A, the IPL, pros and cons for the IPL is that it's generating a lot of employment for people. It's keeping the the hospitality industry alive. It's keeping the travel industry alive. It's keeping the broadcasting industry alive. It's paying the cricketers as well. It's not just about cricketers playing on the field. It's about the cameramen, the journalists, everybody who's earning a buck. Apart from that, and this is the main thing, a lot of people are suffering for a lack of medical facilities, but there are others who have to stay in. And this is the common rhetoric, that it is helping them tide over whatever is happening on the outside. I know in my housing complex, kids who haven't gone outside for a week or 10 days now, and I know for a fact that they are tuning in at 7 p.m. and watching every ball of the IPL. Kids, adults, people who are not in hospitals, but they are infected, they have to isolate at home, they have nothing to do. You can only watch so much Netflix. You can only watch so much news, which is depressing all the time. So the IPL is a stress buster in that sense. So it's not an easy answer. There's no right or wrong answer here. It's almost like the IPL is just happening and we are letting it happen, or we need it to happen to be able to distract ourselves.
I was going to say the IPL is still vulnerable in the sense that you are going to have people who work at some of the matches at the stadiums who are not in the bio bubbles of the teams, and therefore there could be a contamination issue at some stage, and therefore the IPL is put at risk as well. Is there a worry that that could happen, and how are they going to monitor that situation?
That did happen, Ankur. That did happen before the start of the tournament in Mumbai. So Chennai and Mumbai were two venues, the first two venues. And in Mumbai, we had a situation where the ground staff tested positive. So before the tournament started, the BCCI took some stringent measures and they made sure that the ground staff were also tested more regularly. They were already being tested every fifth day, but it was increased. Plus, I think there was some sort of a bio-bubble arrangement made for the ground staff as well. It was made even more secure. The franchisees are taking their own steps to make sure that their bio-bubbles are secure. They were allowed to an extent to get food from outside because you only can have so much hotel food. But that has also been stopped now. So a lot of stringent measures. I know, like in the example of Mumbai Indians, what all measures they are taking, but I can't say them here. But they're taking very stringent measures, and all franchisees are taking those stringent measures, the broadcasting team, the BCCI team. And the fact that now this has happened, thankfully, there's no active case which has come to light in the bio bubble. But the BCCI today has said that they are making the existing bio bubbles even more stringent. So, look, it's an individual responsibility whether they want to be part of the IPL at this stage or not. I think the IPL can go on at least until the bio bubbles are secure. I think that is paramount at this point of time.
In terms of
just to say paramount from an IPL sense, not from the holistic sense. Yeah,
of course. There has been speculation that if the situation continues to get worse over in India, that the UAE have been sort of earmarked to step in and the tournament entirely shifted to the UAE. How much of a logistical nightmare would something like that be? How realistic is that? Because you've got to shift the whole bio bubble of the IPL, the whole infrastructure. You've got, teams with entourages and all that kind of stuff. It's, it's something that's been in the papers here in England, certainly over the last 24 hours. How true is that, and how much of a logistical nightmare would that be?
Honestly, Nikesh, that's the first I've heard of it, that the tournament is going to be stopped and taken to the UAE. That's the first I'm hearing of it. Could be I've missed that in whatever's happened in the last 24 hours, probably missed that, but I don't know. But there's no conversation right now that the IPL is going to stop. Absolutely no conversation. And even there have been reports today of BCCI sending an email to all the players and the franchisees and the parties involved that please stay on and, we'll make sure we'll make your travel arrangements. We'll get you back and then you can quarantine over there. So the tournament for them will end when they get those overseas cricketers back home. So at the moment, the tournament is going to go ahead in India. The fact that let's just assume that they want to take it to the UAE, it's going to be a massive exercise to start with. UAE has banned all flights from India. You can't really go there at this moment. No Indian citizen can go to the UAE at the moment, as is the case with a lot of nations at the moment, and rightly so. Last time around 6 months ago, when the IPL went to the UAE, it did not happen overnight. It certainly did not happen mid-tournament. There's a lot of preparation that needs to go in there because you need to create bio bubbles and everything. If the IPL stops now, and that's a big if, they'll have to wait out this period and resume it again at some point, just like the PSL did. That's my understanding. That's my best understanding. Like I said, if there's been conversation about shifting the IPL to the UAE, I have missed it. The only conversation I've heard about shifting stuff to the UAE is regarding the T20 World Cup, but I can say that's really far off. That's in October. So there's even no point even talking about that.
Has there been any concern about India's trip to England and tour of England, which is coming up in a matter of weeks now?
There is some concern, of course, and it's not much to do with what's happening in India. It's what the UK rules are as such, because you can't really, if you're not a UK citizen or UK residency, if you don't have that, you can't really go there. And from what I understand, the red list countries don't have any sort of government provision to allow sports athletes or sports persons to enter the UK. Plus, from what I understand, the Indian team needs to reach Southampton and quarantine at the Hilton Hotel at the AGS Bowl. The AGS Bowl is not a quarantine center, so the UK government or ECB will have to make sure that it becomes a quarantine center. Plus, the original plan was that the Indian women's team will fly along with the Indian men's team because they're supposed to play a series against the England women's team at the same time. No idea what's happening there. So it's all up in the air. I think right now the priorities are a bit different. And even from an ICC point of view, I think the World Test Championship, there's no clarity yet, because I know for a fact that a lot of Indian broadcasters were supposed to go there. I think among the Indian broadcasters, only Sunny Gavaskar has UK residency. I know he has a home in London, so obviously he has UK residency. So even then, he'll have to quarantine there. So, and that's my best guess. But otherwise, if you need others to go and broadcast the World Test Championship, it can't really be done.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how this all develops over the coming days and weeks, of course. As you mentioned, Jethan, earlier on, the IPL is still carrying on. It does bring some sort of small relief to many across India, whether it's just keeping them at home for a few hours every evening, just entertaining people who are sort of isolating at home, whether or not they have COVID or may have come into contact with somebody who has COVID, or just simply trying to keep as safe as possible. It does give that sort of simple pleasure that everybody so often craves in these times. And it hasn't disappointed so far, has it? We're a couple of weeks in now. And, you know, we're talking right now. We're recording this off the back of the Delhi Capitals agonizingly falling short against the Royal Challengers Bangalore by just a run. It doesn't fail to disappoint. I mean, we've seen so many games already going down to that final ball. We've seen a super over already as well. We've seen some, you know, good quality cricket as well, some really good performances from some unexpected names as well. And I'll give you one, Harshal Patel, who was in action this evening. Again, you know, top wicket taker in the tournament. He started like a steam train. Just talk us through the last few days of the IPL, some of the standout moments for you.
Well, of course, it's not as loud as the previous years, and for obvious reasons, but the action on the field has been pretty intense. All the Chennai games, I think, were pretty intense because the equation between bat and ball was so skewed that we were not getting scores in excess of 150. I think we had one or two scores in excess of 150 throughout the first 10 days that were played in Chennai. Mumbai Indians, which is such a strong team, they struggled to win or get across the line in 3 out of 5 matches. So 140, 150, when that is a par score in T20, we get really close games, intense games. Mumbai's match against Kolkata was pretty intense. As you rightly mentioned, Harshal Patel, he's set the tournament alight. He's giving RCB a lot of options in their death overs, something that's been their Achilles heel in the previous season. So he's got that. Devdutt Padikkal got his maiden 100, so that was good. There's debate around AB de Villiers, but Glenn Maxwell is doing well. AB de Villiers' batting position. Other teams, Sanju Samson had a great 100. We've had Chetan Sarkaria, Rajasthan Royals. Really talented fast bowler. A lot of youngsters are doing well. Rahul Chahar has bowled some brilliant spin in Chennai. It remains to be seen what he does. Moeen Ali has done well for England. Sam Curran, among the English players, these two have done really, really well. So off the top of my head, these are the performances that come to mind. There was a super over the other night. And when was the last time you see a super over where, you know, it's between two spinners? It's not between the 6 batsmen. It's between two spinners, Akshar Patel and Rashid Khan. So I thought that was a good super over. I didn't tweet that, but I thought it was a good super over on hindsight. So, and tonight, before we recorded, AB de Villiers put on a show for us. Then Shimron Hetmyer put on a show for us. And to me, it was almost like making a case for the IPL that it's, for a few of us, I mean, we are a lot of people in India, 1.4 billion, and a lot of people are struggling If I can give a short example or a small example, on Sunday afternoon, it was weighing on my mind what it was happening outside, because you're tweeting and you're tweeting as many messages as possible, amplifying as many messages of help as possible, and it just gets on your head. And 10 minutes later, Chennai Super Kings versus RCB started, and I just shut off everything and I watched it, and it felt a bit of relief. Last year you guys had the lockdown in UK, so the Premier League was on at that time. So I thought that would have brought relief to you guys. So yeah, sport helps, I think. That's what keeps us going. So a lot of people are in distress in India, but I think it's not an easy answer. The IPL is helping at least a few people, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think Nikesh, it reminds me of our situation last year when the Premier League, obviously the national sport here is football, and when the Premier League paused, a lot of people were just looking for that relief. And when the Premier League came back, and you know, there were no fans and it was a very different atmosphere, but people were relieved to have a distraction, I suppose, Nick. And I remember, you know, talking about it with you at the time, and we were happy to have that, but we were still mindful of the fact that we were going through a pandemic and lives were being lost.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I suppose the key thing is just, you know, the IPL, in fact, that the bubble there is a lot different to Premier League bubbles, because, you know, the Premier League players are sort of in and out. They're told to obviously, you know, do certain things, behave in certain ways. And, you know, we have seen a few instances where, you know, even players from my team broke the rules a couple of weeks ago. Three or four Leicester City players getting together when they shouldn't have. They were rightly dropped from the squad for that game. But it's a little bit different when you're in the IPL. You've got lots of international players traveling to it as well. You're all in those bubbles within those hotels, and you are literally not allowed out until the tournament is over. So, you know, from that point of view, I suppose it's a lot more secure. And as long as, you know, there is no harm to the public, you know, physically, by holding the IPL and keeping it going, then I can certainly see the argument for carrying on, as long as they're doing in a safe fashion. And I've been quite impressed that, you know, they've finally woken up, the TV broadcasters, and, you know, throughout the broadcast, we'll be seeing messages of, you know, stay at home, wear a mask, you know, don't go out unless you absolutely need to, all that kind of basic stuff, but stuff that even in the UK, you know, people needed constant reminding of during the height of the pandemic over here. And as I'm sure they do there, it's just, you know, when you see role models, I suppose, giving out that message, the likes of Sunil Gavaskar, you know, whether it's Kevin Peterson from England or whoever it might be, you know, these are big names, and some people may be more inclined to listen to these guys. So I suppose there's that side to it as well. And, you know, it's certainly providing us a lot of entertainment here in the UK. We're sort of slowly coming out of our lockdown, our latest lockdown. Hopefully it'll be the final one, who knows, and fingers crossed things continue to go in the right way. But, you know, even for us and over there as well, I'm sure it provides you just that little bit of small relief. And as long as, I suppose, you would agree, it's not causing any physical harm to the public, is it? So as long as that continues to be the case, then long may it continue.
Absolutely. I think that's the balancing point that you mentioned, Nikesh, that it's not really causing any harm on the outside, to be honest. The only issue was being tone deaf about certain things. And let me be honest, I mean, they can do a lot more. I mean, they should have sent out those messages from day one. What was stopping them from doing that? I mean, right now they're making videos with the broadcasters. Get Virat Kohli to make a video. Get MS Dhoni to make a video. Get all of them, you know, team-wise, whichever team is playing that day, get them to make videos. They're using 6 venues. The rest of the venues across the country, I mean, India has big cricket stadiums. Use them, convert them to hospital facilities or healthcare facilities. Donate. The franchisees are rich enough. Okay, not the franchisees, then BCCI or the sponsors. Just do something. Just do something. Just don't wait for a Pat Cummins to do something. And let me be also honest here, that last year, the IPL and the BCCI and the cricketers, all of them did donate to the PM fund. And maybe they are doing it again silently. I mean, a lot of people do it silently. I know for a fact, MS Dhoni does a lot of charity. Sachin Tendulkar has adopted a village. Things are fine there, or things are good there. He takes care of them. I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about in general, he takes care after a village, which was his duty as an ex-MP as well. So these guys do a lot of silent charity. Virat Kohli has a charity. Gautam Gambhir has a foundation. Yuvraj Singh has a foundation. All of them do a lot of charity. But sometimes it's also about optics. And the optics cannot just be that the game is going on without a care for what is happening on the outside. That cannot be it. And they've started doing it now, and hopefully there will be more, because they can do more. They should do more.
It's an interesting time, isn't it? Is it possible for people? Has there been a lot of chat about the games itself? Have fans been, speaking on social media and been in fans forums, talking about the fact that, oh, Chennai Super Kings has surprised a lot of people. Oh, Virat Kohli's RCB could finally win it this year. Is the atmosphere and the talk around the tournament very different, do you feel?
So last week, I did observe a lot of chatter about RCB and CSK, and I was answering a lot of questions about the IPL. People were putting up to me, and I was having good conversations about the IPL. But over the last 3-4 days, the intensity of the pandemic or the impact of the pandemic has been too intense that those interactions somewhat have gone down. Hopefully, if we can get a grip on it, if we can get ahead of the curve a bit, especially restore the oxygen issue. I know it's not always possible to reach 100% of the people affected, but even if we can reach 90 to 95% across India, and that's a big ask. I think maybe over the next 10, 15 days, the conversations on Twitter might get happier, might return to cricket. But over the last 3-4 days, as you can understand, Ankur, the conversations have turned away a bit from there. There's still people watching, still people following. I even sent out a tweet about it. But majority of the tweets are about helping people, and some about criticizing politicians as well, because we must hold them accountable. But at the same time, it's mostly about helping each other out.
Let's have a little conversation then, just looking at the table, the early stages of the IPL. I know you can't read too much into what's happened in these first couple of weeks, but it goes without saying, really, RCB have started really well. Could this be their year? We tend to say that pretty much every year for the last 6 or 7. But they look a different unit this time, with Glenn Maxwell in there and Harshal Patel bowling as well as he is. And, AB de Villiers playing a slightly different role as the finisher, as opposed to trying to bat as many balls as possible, which, some people argue is still the best position for somebody like AB. CSK, they had a massive blip last season. They've come back well. Jadeja's on fire. He's probably the most valuable player in the tournament at the moment. One of the very best all-rounders. And when we say all-rounder, we mean literally everything on the field, bat, ball, everything, in the world. You've got those two Mumbai Indians. Will they come strong? They always start badly, don't they? It's not going to be panic stations for them. How do you see this one going? Because I can't remember who Ankur's prediction was. He can tell us in a moment. Normally, since 2008, every year I just say Mumbai Indians. I don't know why. I just say Mumbai. This year, I thought I'd switch it up and say the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Now, I think that may be out the window already, to be honest, the way things have started for them. So, I'm left with egg on my face. Ankur, who did you say again?
I'm the same as you, Nikesh. I've predicted Mumbai for the last few years. And this year, I thought, to stop being boring, I said, whoever finishes either above them or knocks them out in one of the eliminators, that team will have the momentum and confidence to go on. So I'm always sticking with that. But I did say that this year, the KKR, if they've learned from the mistakes of last year, they have some box office players. And what have they done so far? Pretty much nothing. Their top order's flopped. So, Dre Russ is really, I was doing the commentary on a game yesterday where he was just inside edging everything. He couldn't really middle anything. So, my predictions are out of the water this year. And I would never have thought that CSK would have been as competitive and as consistent as they have been so far. It's that big Kohli question. Can he finally break his duck in this tournament? That'd be interesting. Yeah, but for me, Nikesh, it was that sort of philosophy, Chetan, of whoever finishes above Mumbai, who can knock them out of the eliminator, which will go and win the title potentially.
Chetan, is it going to be Delhi Capitals year? Your home side, as it
it's,
were?
Well, my home side, I don't really cheer for any one particular side. I mean, Look, the top half of the table is looking pretty strong. I mean, RCB have started really strong. CSK, they've come back. Delhi Capitals, they're looking a very good side. Their bench strength pretty good. If they can take care of Ashwin exiting their camp, RCB have lost a couple of important overseas players. Mumbai Indians have started slow, but it's there because of playing in Chennai. Their middle order was not able to gain form, get going. So probably Delhi is not that different, but at least there'll be different pitches, fresher pitches. The average score or par score, there's around 170, 180. So if they start getting informed, if they start getting on roll, so they'll get those points. Look, I'll be honest, CSK, they have a really good run rate, so they'll manage to scrape through at this stage. I can see that happening because they can manage 14 points. I mean, they need 3 wins from here. 4 wins will put them to 16. And with the high run rate, you know, it always gives you an added advantage. The problem for me is the bottom half of the table. In terms of points, they're not very far off, at least from fourth place Mumbai. I mean, you have Mumbai, Kolkata, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan, all on 4 points. And Sunrisers also not very far away because they're also on 2 points. So not far away in terms of the points, but the run rate. It's the run rate because Mumbai are just on the cusp of the positive run rate. They're negative 0.032 with a game in hand. But you look at KKR or Punjab Kings, who've already played 6 games, they have negative 0.3 or negative 0.6. So to upturn that, plus get the points, especially against the top four, because when you need to upstage them, you need the points when you play the top four. So that's going to be a problem. Can RCB win? If AB de Villiers continues to bat at 5, no, they can't. Straight, they can't. Because when you play against CSK or a DC or MI, and when you're playing them in the eliminations and the knockouts, the pressure is different. They don't have a proper number 3. They're using makeshift batsmen at number 3, which is sometimes sucking out the momentum from their innings. It happened today until AB rescued them. It happened in the previous game. Nobody could rescue them there. So if AB continues batting at 5, no. No. And the problem with RCB also is that if they keep on losing games, they'll tinker. So we need to see if Virat can be consistent with his team selections. That'll be the interesting point for me. Chennai, I still think they're an average side. I know I'll get a lot of flack for this, but I think they're an average side this year. They're just, some of their players are performing past expectations. Moeen Ali has done really well. Sam Curran has done well. Faf has done well. You look at, obviously, Jadeja. So I can pick out 4 players, but that's really the sum of their parts. Overall, we've seen Chennai being a very collective effort team. That hasn't really come through, barring the game against RCB or the game before that, where they got 30-odd, everybody got 30-odd, and they were able to win. So that's happened just once so far. So for me, if I have to pick a finalist right now, I would certainly pick Delhi Capitals to be among them, because I think they have a really good bench strength that they can have different formulae, and their top order is gelling well. Rishabh Pant is doing well. Their bowling attack is very good. But I think the top 4 will stay as it is. I think the bottom 4, the positions might change, but I think we already know our top 4. This year.
Fair enough. Okay, so you're not going to put your neck on the line and give us a winner. Delhi Capitals to win it. First title.
Okay, Delhi Capitals to win it, but there we go. Sure RCB are not going to win it. Let me put out my neck.
Okay. So I didn't put those words in your mouth. Right, I think that's a good note to end on, Jethan. Thank you very much for joining us this week. Jethan, just before we say our goodbyes, where can people follow you on social media?
At Chetan Narula on Twitter and underscore Chetan Narula underscore on Instagram. That's about it. And thanks for having me.
Stay great safe, stuff. Brother. Hope you stay safe and your family and everybody else as well. We're thinking of you.
Yeah, thank
absolutely,
you so much,
Jethan. You take care, and we hopefully will meet again at some point soon when it's safe to do so. Take care.
Hopefully. Thanks.